I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo on this Wednesday, December 21st. 5 days until Christmas, fellas.
I like how there's almost a very symmetrical, rhythmic way you do the you intro the show that it's the same every time that I know when you're going to take a breath.
Yeah, it is the radio voice thing.
Wednesday, whatever the date is.
This is Dateline.
Today on The Memo.
Welcome to Unsolved Mysteries.
I'm Ted Koppel.
This is Hard Copy.
Remember Hard Copy?
Yes, I do. You're not one of those hard copy guys, are you?
Yeah.
President Ronald Reagan was eaten by wolves today.
Ronald Reagan?
Who was it? No, it was Jimmy Carter.
Gerald Ford.
No, Gerald Ford. That's who it was.
Gerald Ford dead at the senseless age of 73.
Oh, boy.
Gerald Ford dead today. Sorry. All right, I'm done.
Less than 2 minutes in, we've got two good pop culture references under our belts already.
There you go.
From the 90s, no less. Because that's our wheelhouse. At least that's my wheelhouse, 90s pop culture. Current pop culture, I'm hit or miss.
You do all right.
I've heard the Hamilton soundtrack, though, so there's that.
Yeah. Have you heard the mixtape yet?
Yes, my daughter has it, and they play it all the time in the car, in the van. So I'm hip, like the kids, to that stuff.
No. What was that move?
Being
hip. Stop it. Don't do that.
Being hip.
It's like a full-on dry heave. It's
just moving the shoulders.
Stop. What are you doing? It's very off-putting.
It's a dad move. It's what a dad does when he's trying to be hip.
It's terrible.
Whatever. Listen, I like to think of myself as a cool dad.
Uh-huh, I'm sure you do.
Probably not.
What do your kids like to think of you
well,
as?
Well, kids are kids. They can't be objective about this stuff. I think deep down they think...
I think they can be objective.
Deep down, they probably think, you know what? My dad's pretty cool.
I don't think they do so much.
I think they do. They don't always like my music. But, you know, it's a generation gap that's always going to be there, but... I don't think I'm as big a goober as some dads.
Well, we've brought all 20 of the kids in, and they're going to come in now and tell us what they really think.
I thought I only had 18. How did I get to 20?
Well, I don't know. You've been busy. Two weeks. It's impressive.
Boy.
I've started adopting. This is Cousin Oliver.
You seem like a cool dad.
What?
You took your daughter to see Star Wars. Hello.
That was her choice.
Well,
she was
still.
You're taking me to see Star Wars. I was like, okay.
Does she like it?
She loves Star Wars.
I haven't seen it yet.
She's obsessed with
but
the
she
Star
liked
Wars.
This particular Star Wars.
This, uh-huh.
I haven't seen it, so
it's
no spoilers.
A very different movie than what you're used to. With the saga, with
That's
the trilogies.
Cool. But I'd like to think that you and Chris are both cool dads. By the way, thanks for the Christmas card the other day, Chris.
Yeah.
I meant to say that.
Those adorable children.
Yes, really.
You don't do one, you can't fit everybody in the picture.
Yeah, well... We did take family pictures recently, but we don't.
Got to use a wide lens.
But we didn't send out any Christmas cards because we never have for some reason. I think we intend to every year and then just like, oh, wait, it's the week before Christmas.
I think you should have just like absolute chaos. Just absolute chaos.
We have some outtakes from that photo session that would be described.
There's a photo session?
I mean, yeah, Lauren Wood shot our family.
I never saw those. I just saw the little one.
No. Yeah, we got family photos. I got them right here if you want to look at
them. Why didn't you do Christmas pictures out of them?
I don't know.
Well, that's just lazy.
I mean, we're going to make
prints. You actually have the pictures.
We're going to make prints for the parents.
I like Prince. He died this year. What, you have these? I want to see this.
If I can find them. Here they are. Family photos, 2016, right here on my...
I want to see this.
See? Look, don't worry.
Now that's adorable.
That's all the girls.
They left you out of it.
That's all the girls and that one.
That's a great picture. There's no Brad.
And there's me and the boy.
Oh, good gosh. Look at that.
Look at this.
Look at that.
Look at those two handsome fellas.
How did you have a cute son?
He's
a cute kid.
I married my wife. Look at her. He looks like her, mostly.
Yeah, but you would think the boy would look like you, and that would be a terrible thing.
Oh, look at us looking at each other, me and the wife.
Oh, that's adorable.
Oh, lovey-dovey.
Look at that.
You just have to imagine, people, how cute this is. Oh,
yeah.
There's the baby.
This is what radio was made for.
This is the baby.
Yeah.
There's my oldest three daughters. See, they're being kind of...
Adorable.
There they go.
Oh, Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angels pose right there. Yeah. Yeah, good photos. We probably should have made some Christmas cards, but we didn't.
Well,
so you just have to match
their own. Chris's, however, were adorable.
Yes. I swear, Daniel is like literally a mini Chris. Like
both of them are.
They're like identical twins.
Both of them
are. A generation
are.
Apart. Well, yeah, but.
What
but,
did your hair look like?
But Joseph
as a
has
child?
Blonde hair. Chris has, and Daniel both have the darker hair.
Yeah, it was blonde until a certain point. I don't know when it.
Joseph's hair is amazing.
It wasn't curly.
I want Joseph's hair.
It is.
Well, I'd take any hair if that's the point. But Joseph's hair specifically is.
Yeah, it's great. We worry, and that's why we still haven't cut it yet, except to trim his bangs, that once we do, it's going to grow back straight.
Curls.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Deanna, when she was real little, had just a head full of curls. And eventually she got older, and you had to cut it, and it straightened out, basically. But
yeah, and it's starting to, even kind of where we've trimmed it a little bit, it's grown back straight. So he may not have that much longer.
He's like a little cherub, Joseph is. That's what he looks like. Little blonde-haired cherub. So anyway,
it's ball of energy.
I was an adorable child.
Oh, I bet you were.
I was. I had hair.
I was too.
Just adorable.
Actually, it's funny. Pictures of me when I'm really young and Drew, we actually do look quite a bit alike. Very eerie.
Well, I feel sorry for him when he grows up. Then.
Thanks.
No, I'm just kidding.
Come on.
He's a cute kid.
I'm not that.
They all are. You got good kids. You got good genes.
Well, yeah.
They run out at a certain point, apparently.
Not yet.
The time limit on them is few and far between.
Wesley, too.
Huh?
So Wesley's a cute kid, too.
Look at that. Look at that child right there. That's an adorable child. Look at that.
Is that you?
That's me.
Oh, nice. Where are the glasses?
Huh?
I recognize
those,
you without
those
them.
Came in college.
Oh, okay. Really? That late? I had to get mine in, like, fourth grade.
Yeah.
I was blind, basically.
I'm having to go through my mother's Facebook page to find pictures because
gosh, my sister posted some old pictures of us when I was in high school the other day on Facebook. I'm like, why did you post these?
Are you tagged in them?
Crap.
Hurry.
Everybody, all right,
quickly,
on the show today,
quickly.
We've got
Rush.
Michaela Morris talking about this exoskeleton and the device. It's really cool. We got Zach Orsborn, who's leaving us to talk about.
Sweet Jesus. Thank you so much for the bounty you have bestowed upon us today. That is amazing.
Don't I look overjoyed? And look at that shirt and tie combo. That is pure, that is pure 90s right there.
Christmas came early this week. Santa came.
Screenshot, quick.
Save. Just found my Christmas card for 2017. Is it too late to send them out? Oh, wait, there's another one. Oh, they just keep getting better, Chris Kiefer.
Look at those legs.
Look at that.
Look at those. Look at those gams on me. I got some sweet Nikes on, though.
Look at those.
That was about 94.
Look at those.
93, 94, somewhere in there.
You're an adorable.
Are those Air Brads?
You're an adorable man child.
Yeah.
You're on a cannon.
Yeah,
what are you doing on a cannon?
We went to Mobile for a few days, and I don't know, some naval old.
The USS
Fort down there or something.
What is the one in Mobile?
The Alabama, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. But this is like, I don't know, that was on solid ground there. But anyway. Oh, that's $2 now in the anyway jar.
Yeah, USS Alabama.
Okay.
I drive past it three, four times a year. Well, you were just cute. When is this about right here, circa? This one.
I don't know. Sometime in high school. You see my mom? See the pose she's striking? Looks like a mob wife. It's like she's about to cut the first kid who doesn't.
She is holding a Glock behind your head, so that's interesting choice for a family photo. Also, this couch is fantastic. It's some sort of gold floral design.
That's a good couch. That's from our house in Ruston, so I'm definitely in high school at that point.
These are just
probably
this is all amazing.
And my sister's in town this week, so of course she's staying with my parents over in Oxford. So of course she goes through the old photo albums and decides to post these. Like, thanks,
really,
sis.
I really appreciate everything you're showing me right now.
There's more where that came from. I hope she doesn't post any of it though.
Well, let's just send her a message and hope that she does. Can she? Will she still be here next week? Can she co-host in your stead and just bring?
I think she's leaving like Monday.
Photo album. Well, we'll see what happens because you're not going to be here next week.
No, I'm not.
Oh, here's one from 2010.
Oh Lord,
what is going on?
Is that back
here?
When I still shaved my head?
Yes.
I don't know why I did that to this day, and I did it for years.
Okay, well, let's talk about the show today.
Like I said, we've got Michaela Morris on. We've got Zach Orsborn, who's leaving us. So one last visit from Zach. He's moving on to a new job. Yes.
It was filmed in the past.
Quiet.
Recorded.
We've got to keep the magic alive about the podcast.
Sure.
It's totally live right now and done all in one take. Chris has to do zero editing.
Look at you. Look at that baby face on that.
That's not even that old.
I know. You've aged so poorly.
That's my sister who's guilty of posting all those pictures.
Well, send message.
Careful, she owns several guns and is in the Air Force.
That's fine. So I'm not doing anything saying, mean.
Don't take her off.
I'm requesting ammunition.
Oh, we also got Jenna Parsons on to talk about food today, section.
We do, and today's episode is also brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods on East Main Street, formerly the Palmer's food market.
They still offer high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
They do. And Brad's picture is posted all over the restaurant, all over the grocery store.
They would be out of business in a hurry. Clean up on aisles 6, 7, and 8.
Good talk.
Okay. Let's get the show started, probably. We are gathered here today to say goodbye to one of our own. Zach Orsborn is on the show with us for the last time, probably. Because Zach is leaving the Journal after how long?
A year and a half.
Year and a half. Mm-hmm. Boy, it's gone by quickly.
It has.
Zach came to us straight out of Mississippi State, right?
Yeah.
Straight out of finishing college, and has been our general assignment reporter, and so that means you've covered a lot of different things.
Yes, everything I can imagine.
Which is pictures
and took. I was going to say multi-talented. He took pictures and took a lot of pictures, very good photos as well. I mean, high quality, and did a lot of design work that maybe people didn't know about, either on stories that are in the paper. I think you may have done some stuff for some of the other publications we have.
Business Journal,
yeah. Yes. So Zach is moving on to Memphis. I work for a marketing company up there.
Yeah, I start January 2nd. Should get that down right.
I hope so. Yeah. You'll still get to do some kind of writing, I'm assuming.
Yeah, writing and design, which are my two favorite loves.
Yes, so well, there you go.
Got to have both.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure you'll do well, and certainly wish you the best on that, Zach, and hate to see you go. But yeah. Like I said, you've written about a lot of different things earlier this week, you got to write about some advances in the medical field.
Yes, with North Mississippi Medical Center.
Right. It's kind of a two-part story you had there on a Monday, right there at the top of page 1A. Let's talk about the first part, the sleep center, the North Mississippi Medical Center's sleep disorder center.
Yes.
And it talks about sleep tests for people who have apnea specifically. And last few years, in-home sleep tests have become more and more the norm, yes. I guess, as opposed to lab tests and whatnot. And why is that so?
So the reason they wanted to try in-home sleep apnea tests is a lot of patients weren't getting the results they needed in the in-lab tests, sure, because, you know, it was in a comfortable environment. And The in-home sleep test, they have different software and programs that kind of help speed things along.
Right.
And they started using these about a year ago, and they purchased 12 of them, and each one costing nearly $5,000.
Wow, so that's about $60,000.
Something like that.
I'm not good at math.
I'm not either. That's right. And but with the thing with the in-home sleep test, it's cost less for both the doctors and the patients. It's
in-home is cheaper than the lab test, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. And what it does is it includes a monitor to check position of sleep, heart rate, and oxygen levels, and it has two belts that go over the chest and stomach. And before you go have the in-home sleep test, they set it up all for you and everything.
Yeah. The other thing you wrote about was cryoablation. Mm-hmm. Say that five times fast. Basically, that has to do with heart rhythms or heart flutters. Those kinds of things.
Yes, atrial fibrillation.
Yes, atrial fibrillation. So that five times fast. But this technique that they use, and you talked with a lady, Ophibia Pegues, which is a great name.
Yes, I know.
She's with the Heart and Vascular Institute over there at NMMC. And this technology is really, really interesting to me. I mean, I don't know a lot about this kind of stuff. It's basically like they're pumping you full of like
Nitrous oxide,
that's what it's called, into your heart, and it kind of freezes part of the heart.
Explain it a little bit. So what a atrial fibrillation is, it's a regular rhythm that originates in the upper part of the chest. Right. I mean, the upper part of the heart.
Right.
So with cryoablation, it's a technique that removes the heat from tissue surrounding the heart and cools or freezes that tissue in order to stop the heart from beating irregularly. Right. And before, they started using this 2 months ago.
Wow.
Before, they were using radio frequency ablation, which applies heat to the tissue, which is the opposite.
Right.
And so in the 2 months that they've started using it, the procedure is already shown to cut back on patient stay time and hospital bill.
Yeah.
So it's they found this at the Heart Rhythm Society convention. And
somebody went to it and saw it at this convention. And it's like, hey, this is cool. Let's try it.
So Ms. Pegues, she's all about finding new ways to, new technology to, you know, further enhance care. And she's been working there since 1991. And she's seen all kinds of new things come along. And she said one of the high points is the patient won't necessarily have to be under anesthesia for these types of cases. That's one thing that differs from radio frequency. It makes a patient's bill cheaper and may decrease their length of stay.
Wow, so you can save money, get out quicker.
Yes.
And, you know, it's good. You know, medical technology, I'm sure, just like most other forms of technology, it just keeps evolving at such a rapid rate, and it's probably hard to keep up. But especially in a small town like Tupelo.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think Tupelo has one of the better hospital systems, certainly for a town this size. And it looks like they're trying to keep up technology-wise, which is really encouraging.
It's very surprising how often they get new technology. And I asked her, I wanted to see, like, I asked her if she ever thought that doctors would be replaced by, you know, robots or like autonomous surgery. And she was what we do requires a lot of detail. We haven't had any knowledge of any upcoming robotic type of clinical applications or anything like that. So doctors' jobs should be safe.
Well, I would hope so. Yeah, there's just some things that a robot can't do. Like, sometimes doctors get they pull on so much experience for one thing, mm-hmm. which a robot
can't go to college.
Pull to that off of that and other such things. So really good story there. And, you know, it's something you haven't probably written much about, the things on the medical side. Mm-hmm. I don't remember many of your stories involving that. But, again, you've touched your job description, of course, is general assignment.
Right.
That's your job title. And so that means you get to cover all kinds of things. You've been the Saturday reporter a lot. A lot of the times you're the guy who covers events and things going on Saturday, on the weekends. Have any stories that stick out to you that were kind of your favorite here in the year and a half?
Yes, I have two. Mm-hmm. One would have to be when I interviewed Ray Shrimmer. That was awesome.
Yeah. The Tupelo rap group, the brothers from Tupelo.
Yeah. I've always been a big fan of them. And when I got here, I was like, I have to write about them somehow.
Yeah.
And luckily they had Shrimp Fest and they set up
an interview. That's coming up this week, isn't it?
Yeah,
this weekend.
The second one.
Yeah.
And then the second one was the story I did on veteran PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
That was just one of those stories that kind of wrote themselves.
And yeah.
Lots of good detail, and it got picked up by AP, so I was pretty proud of that one.
Yeah, that's good stuff. We certainly did a lot of good work for us, and you'll be missed. We'll try to replace you, but it's going to be hard. Appreciate your willingness to come on here, too, on a regular basis and visit with us, Zach. Again, best of luck up there in Memphis.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you. Hey, the memo is seeking your input on how we can improve. We'd like to know what you like about the podcast and any suggestions you have to make us better. Please take our 10-question online survey at djournal.com/memosurvey. You can also email us comments at memo@journalinc.com. Also, be sure to check out the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Blake Morgan, and Gene Phelps. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. So look for a new episode today with myself and Gene. Blake is out. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release new episodes each Thursday afternoon or thereabouts, in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Just a reminder, no Double Coverage this week. The guys will be back next week.
Also want to remind you, you can wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows are posted each Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them free at any time at djournal.com on Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's apps for mobile devices.
Let's welcome in Michaela Gibson-Morris, our medical reporter.
Hello.
How are you doing, Michaela?
Holiday-rific.
I feel you. You had a really cool story in Tuesday's Journal about this woman from Red Bay, Carla Ballou. She's using this, what they call a ReWalk exoskeleton. Yes. She's a paraplegic. She was hurt badly in a car wreck back in 1992. So she's been in a wheelchair for 24 years. But now she's able to walk again to a degree. And we've got pictures and there's video on the website and a really good story as well. Kind of explain to us first, what is this device that she's using?
It's really amazing. It is, quite frankly, the stuff of science fiction come to life.
Yeah.
It is a robotic support system.
Yeah.
It senses minute shifts in her balance, and that will trigger it to move forward. She actually will have a little smartwatch that you tap on it when you're ready to move from a sitting to a stand position, and then you tap it again when you're ready to walk, and it'll beep at you and say, I'm ready to go, and then you just shift your balance ever so slightly.
Yeah.
And it is triggered to take a step, and right. It moves her legs.
Yeah.
But this skeleton is 60 pounds.
Wow.
And for somebody who has been in a wheelchair for 24 years, it is still incredibly, even though it's doing a lot of the work, it is incredibly challenging and exhausting
right. For
her to maneuver and to learn to do this. You could almost kind of equate it to the learning curve that comes with a Segway.
I've never tried one of those.
You see people...
You think they're easy, but then they're not.
But on top of it, she has sensation in her legs, but she does not have the ability to really move them.
Hmm.
So she uses two canes to
support her weight,
for added balance.
That too, yeah.
And right now she is really still learning, although they say she's about a month ahead. She's only had 8 sessions with this thing.
She's doing pretty well with it.
It's really, and I mean, it's just amazing to watch. And you would think, well, you know, surely she's moving her legs somehow, but it really is the exoskeleton moving her legs.
Yeah.
And the ability to just be upright is really incredible. There are both physical and psychological benefits, of course, to this. The goal is, and there are people who've done this, she was telling me, there's somebody who's done a 10K in one of these.
Wow.
And they just changed out the battery for them.
Wow.
But the goal for her is just to be able to move around her house and church and kind of places in the community where she's sure of the footing. She's not
controlled environments.
She's a long way from being going off road.
Right, right. I gotcha.
And you know, the FDA this is an FDA approved device. The VA makes this available to disabled service members who meet the criteria. This won't help everybody who's in a wheelchair.
Right.
It is incredibly expensive. It's $77,000.
Yeah, she had to raise money to afford this. Insurance doesn't cover it yet, does it?
Her community just went to bat for them. It took them less than 2 months to raise the money. It's just incredible. But she's also, she's a really inspiring figure. She was injured when she was a freshman at Northeast.
Right.
You know, and she went on to get her degree. She teaches school. She got married. She has 2 daughters. I met one of them when I was doing the story. And, I mean, just lights up at what this is doing for her mom.
And of course, she's doing this at the North Mississippi Medical Center's outpatient rehabilitation.
Because she has to, I mean, this is an incredible, even for somebody who is dedicated to the process, this is a heavy lift.
Yeah.
So just kind of a chance, Dr. Rosa has taken care of her for years, and they just happened to run into each other at the hospital. She was visiting her grandmother during this process, and she said, "Hey, you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to be, you know, I'm getting ready to do this exoskeleton." And they figured out a way to get the physical therapists at outpatient rehab certified so they could help her. So she didn't have to drive all the way to Birmingham and really stay in Birmingham to get trained before she could take it home. Yeah. So this really helps her. And Dr. Rosa is really hopeful that you will see more insurance coverage or that people who potentially could benefit for this will find a way.
Yeah.
To afford.
Yeah, this makes me think of, remember several years ago, Christopher Reeve, of course, the late actor who fell off a horse, I think, and became a quadriplegic. But there's that Super Bowl commercial where they did some kind of CGI and it made it look like he was walking. It was a commercial. I forget exactly what it was about, but it was about, you know, the future and technology.
I think
maybe
it was his foundation.
Yeah, it was probably his foundation, and, you know, helping people like that be able to walk again. I don't know if this is pretty much kind of what he was envisioning, and I don't know how much it benefits quadriplegics.
I would think this is, this one is only FDA approved for quadriplegics. Paraplegics. Quadriplegics, by definition, don't have the control in at least one of their arms that they would need for this. You really need good control over both your arms to have the strength to provide the extra balance.
Right.
Conceivably, it's kind of proof of concept that you eventually could get to a point where people would wear, I mean, you could really see it, the way things get better as you go. You could see this shrinking down to a suit that people would wear under their clothes.
Right.
And would enable them to move around.
Yeah.
In our children or grandchildren's lifetimes.
Yeah, it's really cool to see the technology come forth like this. And, you know, this technology could be really useful for veterans, you know, injured in combat.
Yes, already the VA covers it. The question is getting into a center where they have time and the resources to do the training and also making it available close enough for veterans to be able to access it. I know Dr. Rosa is looking at what they would need to do to certify to be able to help local veterans that would benefit from it and have coverage through the VA access it here. But that those are issues that are still being addressed.
Yeah. Again, a good story in Tuesday's Journal. You can find it online. As well as djournal.com, story, photos, and video there. Michaela, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day. 2016 legislative session is now over, as is 2016 almost, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol going into 2017. Now it's time for today's news memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Work will begin early next year on the next phase of Itawamba County's nonprofit community for developmentally disabled adults. Organizers and residents of Crossroads Ranch held a groundbreaking ceremony Monday for the ranch's lodge, which is the next major structure in what will be a community, workplace, and home for adults with cognitive and physical disabilities. The lodge will be located in the heart of the 42-acre ranch, 7 miles north of Fulton, and it will be in the main hub of the Crossroads community. It will feature large dining and living areas, a safe room, a classroom, recreational and exercise rooms, and multiple porches. The project's tentative start date is March 1st. Construction of the lodge is being overseen by the leaders of Tupelo-based nonprofit 8 Days of Hope, which will provide guidance and hands-on experience during the construction of the 5,042-square-foot lodge. Founded in 2005, 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based organization committed to rebuilding hopes damaged by natural disasters.
The Tupelo High School Band has been invited to march in the 58th presidential inauguration on January 20th. The band also marched in the 1989 inauguration ceremony for President George H.W. Bush. THS Band Booster President Christy Higgins said they are hoping to send all 150 band members to the ceremony. They will host a meeting today at 5:30 p.m. at the THS Band Hall for those interested in sponsoring the trip. The band will leave on charter buses on January 19th and will return on January 21st.
Oxford Mayor Pat Patterson has officially announced he will not be running for re-election in 2017. Patterson spent 8 years serving on the City Board of Oxford. He will have served 8 years as mayor when he steps down next year. At the beginning of Tuesday night's City Board meeting, Patterson told everyone that he enjoyed and appreciated his time with the city. However, he feels like it is time for someone else to take the helm.
Tupelo leaders are considering a revision to the city's burning regulations. The proposal would allow some limited burning on agricultural land within city limits. Local farmer and land developer Mitchell Scruggs visited the Tupelo City Council on Monday and asked it to support the change. The issue involves creeks and other waterways that pass through property owned by Scruggs. He said those waterways are being clogged by debris such as brush. Scruggs owns a significant amount of farming property within the city limits. He said he is willing to clean out the creeks, but he believes burning is the best solution to dispose of the brush. Chief Operations Officer Don Lewis, Fire Chief Thomas Walker, Development Services Director Shane Hooper, and City Attorney Ben Logan are prepared to explore ways to allow limited burning within the city. Logan told the Daily Journal some kind of permit system for such burning could be established. Lewis told the City Council a draft of possible changes could be ready as early as January.
Thanks to the Tennessee Valley Authority, the Tupelo Public School District has some money in the bank for future infrastructure work. The school district has received $47,194.25 in rebates from TVA by installing new energy-efficient features during renovations made to several school buildings over the past year. That 25 cents is really going to clinch them, something big. Those renovations are being funded by a $44 million bond issue. Savings from TVA rebates will be added back into the district's bond proceeds to be used for future projects. And those savings give the district a financial cushion in case bids for future projects come in over budget or involve unexpected expenses. Remodeling at Rankin Elementary earned the district $8,849.07. Work done at Lawndale Elementary resulted in $10,437.64 in rebates. And renovations at Milam earned $27,907.54 in rebates. Andy Cantrell, Director of Operations for TPSD, said the district worked with TVA, architects, and contractors to ensure that all fixtures installed during the renovations fit the TVA rebate standards. Besides receiving the rebates, the school district expects to experience long-term savings on utility bills for years to come. And we want to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store right here in East Tupelo.
The store recently changed its name, you know.
A couple of years ago at this point, yes, they did.
It has been a while. But the employees haven't changed.
No, they have not. They're the same ones that had Palmer's. They're the same friendly faces you know and love, and that's why shopping there is such a great experience.
Anyway, there's $3 in the anyway jar. The Palmer brothers teamed up with last year's grocery wholesaler of the year and decided to go with their cost plus program. So the store now sells its groceries at 10% over cost. That's allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. And along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. So visit Shoppers Value Foods for high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices.
Jenna Parsons joining us on this Wednesday to discuss the food section. How are you doing today, Jenna?
I'm a little sad.
Why?
We've been talking about death.
Oh. We miss Brad. Oh, he's here. What?
Still here. Not dead yet.
You're not quite dead.
Good for you.
Getting better.
Getting better.
You know, go for a walk.
What? You're going to go for a walk. Monty Python, Holy Grail. I got you.
I'm doing it without the English accent.
Jenna's in a hurry. Stop quoting things.
We were talking about death off the air in case people are wondering why we just brought that up.
We were discussing Disney movies
and death. Okay.
And Marty Russell's column in today's paper.
Everybody dies, apparently. But while you're here on Earth, you have to enjoy food.
Right. Good segue.
Which is where Jenna comes in. Yeah, I try really hard. Your column today was about pasta dishes, which I don't identify with the holidays often, but maybe you do.
Well, I was just looking for a new recipe. My girlfriend sent it to me, and it sounded good, and we like pasta at our house, and we like chicken. So it was actually a Cajun chicken pasta was the name of the recipe. Mm-hmm. But I realized when I made it that I used Tony Sachery's, which is a Creole seasoning.
Sure. And
I don't think people keep, well, I mean, maybe people like Chris Kiefer. from Louisiana keep Cajun seasoning in their cabinet other than a filet. So I changed it to Creole chicken pasta because you season the chicken breast with the Creole seasoning, and then you pan sear it, and then you make a lovely sauce to go over it, an Alfredo type sauce with lemon zest, which that's just really, really makes, brightens it a lot. And then after you have the pasta and you put the chicken on top, you chop up some Roma tomatoes, which are always nice and red, no matter what season, and parsley. So the red and green, see, there's the Christmas tie-in.
There you go.
Yeah. Has a little red and green to it. It's a pretty dish, and it's good.
So you had me at kosher salt and freshly ground black pepper, like salt and pepper are my bread and butter.
Right.
Literally. Where do you fall on the ketchup debate? Do you like ketchup? Are you a ketchup fan?
I like ketchup, but I only eat Heinz ketchup.
Have you tried the new...
That's the correct answer, by the way.
What's it called? I think Heinz makes it. Maybe it's Heinz. Heck, I don't remember.
What is it?
It's called like the Simply Ketchup. It doesn't have the fructose syrup or whatever.
Oh, I haven't tried it.
It tastes different. It tastes better. Yeah, it's Heinz. You remember?
It tastes like old ketchup. It tastes like ketchup used to taste. Yes. Like old ketchup. It tastes like old ketchup. like the way, like how ketchup used
back
to be.
Back in the day.
Yeah, like 80s ketchup.
Oh, well, I'll have to try it. No, I haven't seen it yet. Or I haven't seen it advertised either. Okay.
Yeah, right there.
It's pretty good, actually.
All right.
I just wonder, we got in a debate the other day about ketchup. I have family members who hate ketchup.
I don't know that I've ever met anyone who didn't like ketchup.
My brother-in-law and my nephew, they're both like anti-condiments. What do you put on a burger?
One of my kids doesn't like ketchup. So
no, like that's not right.
How does one eat French fries without ketchup?
This barbecue sauce.
Oh. And you know what? Sometimes my kids will dip their French fries in ranch dressing.
Yeah, Wesley does that. I hate ranch.
Charlotte dips hers in a Frosty, so whatever.
There's that, too. Now, if I'm at a steak or fish place, I might dip them in a little Country Bob's. That may happen. You ever had steak fries with the Country Bob's?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's good.
But you can also, you know, cover your French fries in cheese and then...
And bacon.
And, well, right. And
chili.
No.
A little green onion.
That's incorrect. You do not... French fries and chili do
well,
not
now you're just bordering on a potato skin.
Or a heart attack, one or the other. Your cook of the week this week was somebody that's no stranger to Tupelo, Casey Grist.
Right.
Casey Caldwell Grist.
Right.
Her father was mayor of Tupelo for a number of years.
4 years.
Yeah. Well, okay, four of them, I guess, if we're going to number them. Good God. Just give me some credit here.
You knew he was mayor.
I did. I know Casey very well. And
her mama was a cook of the week. She was one of the first cooks of the week I did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When I walked into her house to do the interview and she came to the door and I said, "You look just like your mama." Mm-hmm. And she said, "I take that as a compliment." And I said, "You should, because your mother is a beautiful woman inside and out."
She is one of the busiest people in Tupelo I know. She has, and I don't mean this negatively, she has her hands in everything.
She does.
She stays very busy, both with her own consulting firm and everything else, but she finds time to cook.
She does. And one of the ways that she does that is they like to grill usually on Saturday nights, and they do a charcoal grill. Mm-hmm. And so if they, for instance, cook steaks, as soon as the steaks are done, she just starts throwing stuff on the grill, chicken breast and hamburgers and hot dogs. And so she has lots of meats cooked for meals during the week. So that way, when she comes home, she doesn't have to worry about, you know, what we're going to eat. She can just put a couple of side dishes with it and have a healthy meal on the table.
Good to go. What did she make for you?
Oh, my gosh. She made her Jefferson chicken crepes, and she made these when she was in high school and junior high for spending money. But she would make them and sell them. And so she made them for us for the photograph, and they looked and smelled wonderful. And so I took her recipe home that weekend, and I made them. And they were very good, but I had never worked with crepes before.
Really?
And well, she gives a little hint. Back when she used to make these to sell them, she made homemade crepes. But now Kroger sells them seasonally in their produce department, a package of 10. And so that's what I bought. But they're so delicate. Mm-hmm. And when you're putting a a hot, heavy filling in them and then trying to roll them up. I mean, mine were tearing. They were not pretty. They were good, but they were not pretty. Mm. But that is what she is known for. So she made those for us.
Yeah, well, you weren't a Seinfeld fan.
Oh, yes.
You are. I always think about the one where the Cubans are wrapping the tamales too tightly and they're spraying the sauce in the eyes and blinding people at the restaurant.
Oh, I guess I missed that.
Kramer gets some Cubans and they think he's referring that he's going to get some cigars, but he actually brings back Cubans with him.
I don't recall the tight tamales.
They end up putting them on for crepes instead because they were doing so terrible at the tamales. Jenna, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So did my sister ever message you back about the picture?
She did. She'll be here in a little while. So
no, she's not. She's way over in Oxford.
That's why I said a little while. It takes 45 minutes.
You didn't even message her, did you?
Yeah, I did.
No, you did.
I did.
What'd she say? Let me see.
I got a red receipt.
Let me see it.
It showed she read it.
She's probably like, who's this creeper?
Read it. I just got that. That makes sense now. What?
She probably is like, who's this?
I don't have a weird picture on my account or anything. I'm cute.
Cute. I'm not sure that's the word I'd use to describe.
I'm not cute at all, but I got a picture of my kid, and she's cute, so that's more inviting. We're going to wrap it up and be done with it.
Probably should.
Wrap it up in maroon and white and call it a day.
What?
What?
You're not going to be here tomorrow. Lame.
No, I'm not.
I will be.
No. So this is my last time with you for a while.
No, until next year, yeah.
Until next year.
Because I'm off next week, yeah, suckers.
I don't have to see you for the rest of the year.
Woo!
Yes.
Fist bump.
Blow it up. You didn't blow it up.
I usually do. That's what's weird. Mm-hmm. I didn't that time. Try it again. Take two.
Mm-hmm. Here you go.
Okay. Blow it up. Nice. What, Chris?
Just programming note, we will not have a Monday show next week. We'll be back tomorrow.
Because that's our Christmas day for a lot of people.
Right. And then probably just going to be one episode next week, either Wednesday or Thursday. We just kind of need to work that out. So just look for us next week, but probably only one episode all
I won't be here, so good luck.
That's the spirit. Fend for yourselves.
Correct.
Nothing to do with you. Well, that's okay then. We will drudge forth without you and probably be better for it.
What?
What?
That's what I was going to say about no, not having you tomorrow.
We need to start submitting in for awards now, for podcast awards.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Is that like the Webbies, or is that different?
It's not the Webbies, but there are podcast awards.
So cool.
Every year.
So who's co-hosting with me tomorrow, Chris?
You? Don't know yet. I'll let you know.
Your sister.
Well, you know, she's in town. Why not?
According to this. So.
She talks way more than I do, so she could just take over the podcast and talk about... Yeah. Her stories from the Air Force. You got some good ones. I don't know how many.
No, it's mostly you might have to
write involve some heavy editing.
We're mostly interested in the ones about you.
Yeah, she's got some of those too.
Yeah, she does.
Because she used to beat me up.
I want
to
talk about the 6 years you spent in prison.
What?
What?
I was told my record got expunged.
Yeah, well, the internet never forgets.
Once again, we remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, where you can get the ingredients for the recipes in today's food section. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and save them money on quality name brand products.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I say it that way? Quality.
Quality.
Snipped in the Ted Koppel. Quality like, name brand
quality.
Products.
Koala.
Gerald Ford died today.
Koalas attacked the Shoppers Value Foods.
Visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get help by the same people you knew at Palmer's. So that's it for today. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Of course, you can listen to us a variety of ways in iTunes and your podcast apps or at memo.djournal.com. Send us an email, memo@journalinc.com. Send us your pictures from when you were in high school. See if you're as big a goober as I was. Probably not.
No, there's
probably
no way.
Not.
There's no way.
I was the biggest. Yeah.
You look fine, Brad.
Yeah, whatever.
You look good. You look professional and...
I did not look professional.
Charming.
I had a mullet in ninth grade. What are you talking about? And
holy
it was the saddest.
Crap.
It was the saddest
Somebody
mullet.
Somebody get me those pictures.
It was the saddest
what
of mullets.
What year were you in ninth grade?
That was 1990.
No, mullets were outlawed by then by the
government.
I was
like 5 years behind everything.
Good gosh, man.
Trend-wise, probably still am.
If anybody has a picture of Brad Locke with a mullet, that's the new artwork for the memo.
Well, my sister could probably dig one up.
Yes. Let it happen now.
Yeah, boy.
Oh, I can't wait to do some investigative reporting while you're out there.
Did my sister respond yet?
Yeah, we're all over it.
No, I bet you are.
I need this mullet photo.
Great.
Just trying to imagine you in a mullet.
It's not pretty.
It's fantastic.
Let me tell you.
Dear Lord. All of it is amazing. I found my Christmas card for 2017.
It's a dark time.
Good times. We'll see you guys next time.
All right, bye.